This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227. Doing more is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Xavien Howard of the Dolphins? Two interceptions of Tom Brady tonight in South Florida. Unbelievable as Miami is trying to hold off the Pats by 10 in the fourth quarter. Howard, two picks. That's a career for some guys when you do it against Tom Brady. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot. The next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do. Project smarter. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. The great John Harper is on from the Daily News in New York to talk baseball. John, happy holidays. Hope you're doing well, buddy.
Hey, same to you, Scotty. How are you?
I got to tell you, obviously we're going to talk about Giancarlo Stanton for sure, but I really am stunned to learn that Jeter didn't even go to the winter meetings. Like, I have to say, like, who does he think he is? Like, are you kidding me?
I know. He's not off to a good start as an owner, you know. I think he's finding out that it's not as simple as just going out and single in the right field every time up you get when you need a big hit or something. He's got a lot to learn, a lot of inexperience has shown. He's made a lot of bad moves there. He fired a scout who was in the hospital at the time, you know, waiting for a kidney transplant. He's really looked bad here, and he kind of botched this Stanton thing by refusing to get involved with the guy and talk to him about what he wanted to do and get it and understand where Stanton was coming from. He really is not doing well so far as an owner. Yeah, I saw him tonight. They showed him at the Dolphins game. He didn't look too happy when he saw himself on TV there.
I mean, he looks like kind of an idiot right about now since he's taken over the Marlins. He fired everyone in the organization, basically. I knew about the guy with cancer in the hospital. And then, I mean, he literally gave Stan to the Yankees for a bag of donuts. Are you kidding me?
And today he tried to sell it as he wouldn't have done anything different. Hey, Stanton had the hammer with the no-trade clause, but there were better ways to go about it than the way Jeter did. You know, that's why when a guy has a no-trade clause, a guy of that stature with that kind of salary, you have to sit down and talk with him where he's coming from and what you may and may not do. They went ahead and made deals with the Giants and the Cardinals without knowing it was Stanton. You know, they kind of tried to threaten him with the idea, if you didn't take these deals, you're going to be stuck in Miami because we're going to trade everybody else. Well, Stanton has an opt-out clause in 3 years, so he wasn't going to be stuck there forever. And he called them on their bluff. And, you know, yeah, Jeter just, he didn't go about this the right way. And he did. He really, in the end, had no leverage. So he had to take what he could get from the Yankees because he wanted to get out from under that contract. But, yeah, the Yankees, I mean, they got him for basically nothing.
So John Harper with us, Daily News. He was, Stanton, very appreciative of basically the organization, the city of Miami, teammates, the staff, the coaching staff. He feels for the fans, et cetera. But the bottom line is, despite all the wonderful things he said, the reality of it is, in today's presser with the Yankees, he said that it's a circus there, and it's a joke, and that it's a mess, and that's just the beginning of it. Like, he said that, like, they have, in not so many words, they have no chance. I mean, I thought he actually, without all the shiny, smiley thanks for everything, he basically said they're a disaster.
He did. And you know what? I was glad to see it. He was blunt about it, but you could tell, I mean, he's been, he basically, he was got sick and tired of hearing promises from their ownership down there, the old ownership, about how they were going to try and win when they Jeffrey Loria still wouldn't make the moves he had to make to put that team in contention. And so he called them on it and said, yeah, he called it a circus atmosphere or whatever. And I think it's probably good for the Yankees, because this guy's coming to New York with kind of a chip on his shoulder, hungry to win, because he's been there for 8 years and hasn't even finished above 500. So I think the guy's kind of on a mission to prove that 59 home runs is no fluke. And in Yankee Stadium, who knows how many he could hit.
The amazing John Harper, clearly one of the best baseball writers in America with the Daily News, always a guest on the bench. We love him. I got to ask you. If you, because I live there, right? So I was there doing work for the Marlins in 2003 when they beat the Yankees in the World Series, and no one went to the games then either. The only reason that the World Series was sold out was because it was the World Series. They never went to any games. They went to playoff games when they made it. And then even at the beginning when they were, like, playing the Giants, et cetera, it was still, there were empty seats at every game. And then they get in the World Series of the Yankees. And, of course, everyone went to see the Yankees. And then they beat the Yankees. It was unbelievable. But I was working for the ball club. And I got to tell you, every night I had my own section, the Pharrell Ovidians in left field. And I had, like, 500 free tickets to give away on my morning show on QA. At the time, the home of the now it's the home of the Dolphins and Canes. Then it was the home of the Marlins. And I'm just telling you, no one ever goes to Marlin games, ever. And I'm telling you, no one will ever go to a Marlin game again as long as they live, because he's gone now, and there is absolutely zero reason whatsoever on the face of the world and the face of the earth to go to a Marlins game when there's nothing to watch.
Yeah, I think you're right, Scotty. I'm not sure that can ever succeed down there, because, as you said, I don't think there's really much of a true fan base there. So many transplanted New Yorkers or whatever else down there, and I don't know if Jeter knew that what he was getting into. Really, he didn't have to put up a whole lot of his own money compared to what the other guy did. But I don't know if it'll work. And even Stanton made that comment today. He kind of feels sorry for the fans down there, and even the players who are still there, because he said there's rough times ahead. They're going to have to break that whole thing down and try and build it the way the Astros did. Well, you can do it if you make all the right moves in terms of high draft picks and some trades and this and that, but the Astros went through a lot of pain themselves to turn that thing around, and I don't know if that fan base will turn out until you actually put kind of a World Series team on the field, and that's really, really hard to do.
One of the things that they do is they do a lot of old people, obviously, and I still have a place there. They watch the games, believe it or not, on television. They just don't go to the games. They actually get good baseball TV ratings down there. It's the craziest thing, because no one wants to go out in the heat, even though it's an indoor ballpark. No one wants to even go from the parking lot to the stadium. That's how hot it is. And, I mean, I'm not even kidding. And then they just, you know, they sit at home and watch the games on TV. They've always done well on TV, but no one ever goes. I have to ask you, do you believe that Jeter will actually make it? Like, do you think he'll survive? Like, let's say, hypothetically, 10 years from now, do you think he'll still be involved with the team? Or will they, because he looks like, anyone that starts this badly in something, are you kidding me? You're going to vote on him to be successful? I vote on him to, like, jump off a bridge in about 8 years.
Yeah, I would. I'll say this. I think there's a better chance that Stanton's still in New York and finishing out that 10-year career than there is that Jeter is still there as an owner. I think he will. If it's not working out, I think he'll find a way to get out of it at some point. And it's a really hard road to climb. And I'm not sure he wants to be the point man there. I remember him telling me this years ago that if he was going to, he always talked about being an owner. And I asked him, well, if you're going to be an owner, are you going to be involved making the baseball decisions? He kind of looked at me like, well, what do you think? Of course, he thinks he can do it. But as we've seen, a lot of guys, it doesn't necessarily translate. Jordan, Michael Jordan, other guys aren't necessarily successful owners just because they were players. I don't know if he has the expertise to really pull this off and if he has the right people around him. So I'm betting that he's not there in 10 years.
Yeah, me neither. Let me ask you this question. Do you, because you know him really well, do you feel that he's rubbing people the wrong way initially here? Because he's coming across as this stuck-up, snide know-it-all. And in reality, I think he was a, you know, a really, you know, great Yankee, and I think nothing more. I just think that he was meant to be this Yankee shortstop, and his whole career he played with him and everything. But all this act of him, like, pretending like he's some kind of George Steinbrenner is not, it's not coming across that way. I think it's coming across as he's being a jerk.
Yeah, well, yeah, he hasn't made a lot of friends down there. I mean, look what he ran off guys like Tony Perez, Andre Dawson, Jeff Conine. When he got some bad pub, he had an outgoing team president, David Sampson, deliver the news. Jeter didn't even do it himself, that he wanted those guys out. And they were making maybe, what, $100,000 or something, so not a lot of money. And then when he got bad publicity for that, he offered Conine, who's, you know, considered kind of Mr. Marlin down there, a chance to stay for $25,000 a year. Conine,
right.
Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I mean, Jeter, look, he had a pristine reputation as a Yankee, no doubt about it. And I had covered him for a lot of years, but he also was a guy who was very careful not to, very guarded, not to give you any insight about into him or anything, really. And, you wondered at times if you ever really got to know the real Derek Jeter, and now maybe we're seeing a side of him that we didn't see in New York.
Wow, that's crazy. So let me go back to the Yankees for a second. Now that you've seen this deal go down, we don't know how they're going to handle it, like in right field. Do you believe they'll move Gardner to center? Can they get rid of Ellsbury? He has a no-trade clause. Would they put Stan in left, or are they just going to flip him every day as a DH and play in right? Is that the way it's going to be? How's it going to play out?
I think Stanton will do a lot of DH, and Judge is a really good right fielder. I know Stanton's pretty good, too, but Judge, he's really athletic for a guy his size. He's younger. He can take more of a beating. They would love to get rid of Ellsbury's contract, but they still have Aaron Hicks, too, who they actually played over Ellsbury in the playoffs because they like his defense that much. He's really a good center fielder. I don't know. Yeah, they could move Gardner to center, but I don't think they're getting rid of both of those guys. I think Gardner will play a lot of left. Maybe they'll see if Stanton can play some left as well, but I think he'll do a lot of DHing and maybe play the outfield a couple times a week. And I saw where he seemed to be okay with that today. But, yeah, I don't. They do have a lot of outfielders they're going to be trying to look to maybe trade some for pitching. Gardner could go in the right deal for pitching because, remember, they got that kid Clint Frazier that they love too, who you got to see a little bit of last year, and he's right now there's no room for him. They think he's ready as well.
So let me ask you this question. Is the no-trade clause – the worst thing that's ever happened to baseball, like giving these star players no trade clause, it comes back to haunt these teams, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would think if you give a guy $325 million or whatever, you wouldn't need a no trade clause. But he was smart enough to get it because he knew, you know, that based on the history there in Miami, there's a good chance that he would need it at some point. But, yeah, it's like these opt-outs they give now, too. They give the players all the leverage in these situations. And with the money they're throwing at them, you know, but you know how it goes. These teams get desperate to get a guy, and they'll go ahead and make that last move to make, give them the no trade. Sometimes they think they have to do that to get them to keep them from signing somewhere else. And it almost always puts the team in, just like they're with the Yankees with Ellsbury now. Even if they can get a team to take them, you know, the Yankees are willing to eat some of that contract, and they would obviously have to. But Ellsbury still has to sign off on that deal. So, yeah, it puts the team in a really bad spot, these no trades.
Lastly, do you think, because I've said for a while on this show, I think the Mets should trade Matt Harvey with all of his stupid Dark Knight BS. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. He's been a disaster. He really has in the last couple of years. And I just think I'd love to see him move him. What do you think is going to happen there?
They're listening on him, but here's the thing. If you're trading him for a reliever, I mean, the Mets need pitching. And, you know, I think the big problem is they don't want to spend a lot of money. There's a lot of relievers out there they could just go and spend on. To me, at this point, I think you're right. I mean, I don't have any faith in Harvey, but they brought in Mickey Callaway, a guy who was considered a great pitching coach and who's going to be the manager, and then
Dave
Island, the pitching coach, with a whole new couple of guys there. I think at this point I would give it one more shot with Harvey and see if you can get anything out. He's going to be a free agent next year. He's going to be doing everything he can to get some kind of multi-year contract. At this point, I would take one more shot with him. If you can get something of real value for him, that's one thing. But I wouldn't just give him away for a reliever at this point. I'm not sure what you accomplished it.
So
other than it would save the Mets from saving spending a few more dollars on a reliever.
Right. So they go out and get Mickey Callaway, and I was thinking to myself, but lucky for him, nice interview, nice job heisting this job, getting the job. I'm thinking, everybody's talking about how great he is, this and that. I'm thinking to myself the whole time, I'd rather have Callaway Golf running the Mets than Mickey Callaway. Thank you very much. So I'll be the first in New York to welcome him with no open arms and say good luck over in Queens with the Mets. Mickey Callaway, my ass. John, great.
You're tough, Scotty. You're tough.
I love you. You're the best. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. All of that business. Merry Pharrellmas. Everything else. You're the man.
Thank you, too, Scotty. All right,
John Harper with the Daily News, the one and only. 855-212-4CBS.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
I mean, Brady looks like he doesn't even care tonight. Like, they're running out of time. 5 minutes left. They're down 10. And he looks like, well, he's angry for one thing. And secondly, he looks like he could care less. Does he not look that way to you, Carver High?
Completely disinterested.
Who's ready for some Week 15 pain day football? Thursday, you got Denver and Indy. No one cares about that. But how about Saturday, a doubleheader? Chicago, Detroit, and then the Bolts and Chiefs from Arrowhead. How crazy is that? Sunday, you got Miami, Buffalo. Green Bay, Carolina. How about Sunday night? The New England-Pittsburgh game's in the afternoon on CBS. And then Sunday night, Dallas-Oakland. Monday night, Atlanta-Tampa. You have to be on PharrellOnTheBench.com. You get every pick, every game, money lines and spreads. I got all the bowl games up for college football, money lines and spreads. College hoops this week. Nova, number one, against Temple on Wednesday, Saturday. Notre Dame and Indiana, Cincinnati and UCLA. Oklahoma, Wichita State should be good. Best game in the NBA this week, Thursday, Lakers, Cavs, Saturday, Oak City and the Knicks. NHL this week, Pittsburgh and Vegas, Thursday, Friday, LA and the Rangers. Get every pick in every sport, every day, boxing and MMA, daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com sets the standard. Sign up today. So there you go. And then what's he going to do here? Punt again, right?
He doesn't really have much choice.
They have to, right? I mean, they're just out of time, and this game's over. That's what the deal is here. This game's over.
They actually have gotten the ball back three times now since they got it to 10 here in the fourth quarter, and they've done nothing with it each time.
You know, this game's over. They're throwing this game.
It's finished.
It really is. There's not enough time, in my view, to score twice. I really don't believe that because they can't even get a first down.
Without a turnover, you're right.
All right, so let's go back to the Jeter thing for a second. Can we spend some time talking bad about him some more? I think it's only fair, right? So this guy's at the Dolphin game tonight. He's not at the winter meetings. Where are the winter meetings taking place? Do you know?
Orlando.
It's in Orlando. There you go. With Disney World and everything. So here's the deal. Can you even believe... this guy, the audacity of this guy, the way he has gone down, taken that job, fired everyone, fired guys like, let's face it, Conine, Perez, Dawson. He made Sampson do it, the old owner, and then fired him, right? And then Sampson was the president, right? He was the president, and Loria was the owner. So then they fired a scout that had a kidney transplant, and they claimed they didn't know he was having a kidney transplant. Way to know about your organization. Some guy's dying in the hospital. You don't even know he's there. Okay, so then they fired, didn't they? They canned the play-by-play and color guy, right? I think Conine, Wilson were let go. Rich Waltz let go. The year before, Tommy Hutton, who was doing it when I was there, they let him go. But Jeter didn't have anything to do with that. But let's just say he did, just for the sake of it. We're blaming him for everything else. We might as well blame him for that, too, right? I don't think that's legal. Is that legal? No, but it sure is fun, isn't it?
We could do whatever we want.
We could do whatever we want at this point. No, he didn't fire Hutton, but just the franchise has been going downhill fast. And then... I got to tell you, when he left the Bronx, he went back once right, with Hannah, Smoke Show Hannah, to go to Monument Park when they didn't they give him a statue or something or a bronze?
He was there. He's been there four times since the last time he played. His own day was this year,
right?
Where they retired.
And
his
then
number.
What were the other three?
He was there for Posada's Day,
right?
Pettit's Day,
right?
And there was one other day that he was there for. Might have been either O'Neill or.
But never
or
any old timers' day or anything like
he's
that.
He's not been to an old timers' day.
So the bottom line is, he's been a ghost in the Bronx.
And I was. That's kind of what did it for me with him, is when this guy just completely stopped.
So everybody else always gives back to the Yankees except Jeter.
Well, you know what? I held him to a higher standard because this guy, for 20 years of his life, was the entire organization. He was the captain. He was the face of the franchise.
He was everything.
He was DiMaggio, Mantle, all these great things that he was supposed to be. And ever since the day he walked out that door, he couldn't care less about the Yankees.
Okay, so we'll come back and we'll talk more about Jeter. If you have an opinion about what he's doing to the Marlins or about the Stanton deal to get Giancarlo Stanton to the Bronx... I know how excited Jay Berman was about that deal. So call the show, 855-212-4CBS, and we want to hear from you. In fact, I want to hear from Jay even after the update because he hates everybody, let alone the Yankees. I mean, he hates everyone. He probably hates Jeter, and now he hates Stanton even more, and he never even cared about Stanton. Now he hates him too. So I want to hear all about his holiday hate. When we come back, we'll let Jay in on it. And everybody else, call the show if you have an opinion. If you don't have an opinion, go listen to your wife.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jay just told me he'd like a wrap, chicken wrap. So let me ask you, I know when you woke up on Saturday morning from your sleeping it off.
Yeah.
And because we were on the air Friday night and we knew this was happening, there was serious heat blowing that they were going to get him. And you were probably what, out or were you in bed or whatever? When did you find out that they got Stanton?
Friday night.
So you knew late night?
Yes, I did.
And what was your initial reaction? You wanted to hurl. Seriously, because you hate him.
Yeah, I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but I will say there is something to this Jeter thing. I it just doesn't look good.
You think he's in cahoots with the Yankees?
No, I'm not saying that. I just there's just something off-putting about it, you know. And yes, I'm a Yankee hater, 100%. I'll never not admit that. I'm proud of that. But it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. There's something weird about it. And by the way, even if it's not Jeter, there's something not right about it to begin with. Because why should you sign a guy to the biggest contract and then get rid of him only to be picked up by the team that can afford him the most? The economics.
So in other words, like
bad.
The deal that he signed for $325 million was a joke to begin with, and that they knew all along they were never going to honor it.
I understand, right? The team's in debt, but how are they going to make money now? Nobody's going to go to the games. They're not going to make money off of baseball games, which is, you know, the point of it, right? I mean, it's a business.
Right. So
I think Jeter looks bad in this entire thing. And it's not only the trade. Jeter decided to go to Monday Night Football instead of the baseball winter meetings when he pulled off the biggest trade, the most important trade in the history of the franchise. The franchise he took over.
And he doesn't show up for...
Doesn't show up. He's sitting there with Hannah at the football game tonight.
So do you think he'll last as the owner of the Marlins? I asked John Harper this. In 10 years, will he be there?
Yes.
You think he will?
Yes, I do.
Carver, how do you think he will?
Yes.
You want to know why he will be?
Why?
Because the Steinbrenners aren't selling the Yankees. Because that's where he really wants to be.
Oh, yeah, well, even if he wanted to, I don't think he'll ever get his hands on the Yankees, Jeter. He doesn't have that kind of money. He doesn't even have enough money for the Marlins.
He hates the Yankees right now.
I do.
He hates the Yankees.
I understand that.
Jeter hates the Yankees. Jeter hates the Yankees right
really?
Now.
Really? Why is that?
He's still all upset because they lowballed him on his last contract. He hates the Yankees, which makes this whole thing even more ridiculous.
What do you mean? Like, you think he cares about
he
his last contract?
He still holds a grudge against the Yankees.
He's a fool.
Why?
Because he does. He doesn't. That's why he doesn't go there anymore. That's why he doesn't. He still holds a grudge with Cashman and the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that. Chris, what do you think of this whole thing?
I don't think he'll be there. I think the only chance he has is if this bottom crater isn't so low that it lasts 5 or 6 years. I think if we're year five and they don't show substantial growth and progress as an organization, I think it's going to go down as one of the biggest blunders in sports management history.
Or they could just, let's say in 5 to 7 years, the guy that owns it says, I don't need this nightmare. All right, Jay, you're the man. So you leave and sell it again yourself, and then Jeter wouldn't own it. Jeter is a very small, in my
right,
view.
At the end of the day, he's a minority owner.
A minority owner.
The other guys can go, hey, you suck. Get out of here and sell us your piece.
Did you just see this guy get mauled, Amendola, no flag? Are you kidding me? Did you see this? Are you kidding? Watch this. Tell me this isn't pass interference. Tell me this isn't pass interference. Here we go. Oh, I guess he never touched him. That's a good call. All right, so you think... All right, going back to this whole thing. So they get Stanton, and do you feel that, like Scott Miller said, it's like the Bash Brothers having McGuire and Canseco? Can you imagine that they have these two back-to-back in a lineup?
Yeah.
Judge and Stanton, okay. And even Sanchez, and it goes on and on. Bird, if Bird were to ever play 130 games, let's say, I could see him missing 30 games.
You could see him jack 42.
Can you imagine?
He's the lefty who could go the short porch. I mean, it's...
And Didi just keeps getting better and better, and so did Gardner's never been better.
Look, it all sounds nice here on December 11th. It sounds great. It really does.
You don't think that team's going to win?
I think they're going to win, but...
They won without him.
What do you mean by win? You think they're going to win automatic for the World Series? That's done? Signed, sealed?
No, I just think they're going to win the East, and I think they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I can agree with that. They're going to go to the playoffs this year, but...
So, I mean...
They still have the same guys in the rotation that they had this year, okay? CeCe will be a year
older. They got
older.
The job done.
You could say that, maybe. I don't know. Other than Severino, is anything a real... guarantee for them? Tanaka, you know?
I mean, they got it done. They just went to the ALCS with the same bunch.
I'm not completely sold yet on that front. I think they'll get there, but I don't think they're a slam dunk to be a World Series. Astros are still a good young team that's going to be defending champs. I don't think they're a slam dunk for anything. I told you Friday night I didn't think they needed him, and I still stand by that. They got him for nothing, so there you go. I'll take him. But... it's going to be fun. It's going to be, I guess, fun to watch these guys blast balls out of Yankee Stadium every night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You got that right. Matt in Columbus, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my Mother Pharrell and call.
You're the man.
Hey, man, I just wanted to say real quick, Jeter's been saying he's going to ditch Stanton since day one, and he got no pushback. So why now, after he does it, everybody's outraged?
Oh, I think that it's not that surprising that he dealt him based on that they didn't want to pay the new owners, Jeter being one of them, that $300 million contract. So I'm not surprised that they traded him either. I'm just surprised, to be honest with you, that they traded him for a bag of peanuts to the New York Yankees. How's that?
Oh, that's fair.
That's it. Like that was just a horrible trade is what that was. They just said, here, take him. We don't want him, and you can have it. And the Yankees can afford it, and the Marlins can't. So, I mean, they could have still, in my view, traded him to the Yankees and gotten way more than they got, and that's because Jeter's a dumbass.
And that's all goes back to, like Harp said, the mismanagement that he did by not talking to him beforehand and finding out that he didn't want to go to St. Louis or he didn't want to go to San Francisco.
That's right.
He went and made deals with these teams, not knowing that the guy wasn't going to go there. And that just loses, like Harp said, all his leverage with the Yankees.
Because he handled it like a dumbass. I mean, Derek Jeter showed, I hate to say it, but he showed his true jockism. He's just a baseball player. He's a jock that he's not a savvy, shrewd. Now, everyone's going to say, yes, he is. He runs the Players Tribune. Boy, it must be really hard getting megastar athletes to do interviews on their own website about sports without using reporters because they hate them so much. Congratulations. You're a genius. The Players Tribune is a media unit derived by athletes just to do all the media themselves without reporters because they don't like reporters. That does not make him a genius that he runs that website or whatever the hell it is. He's not a baseball executive yet. Now he is. Now he's running the Marlins. You know what he's doing? He's running the Marlins into the ground. That's what he's doing.
And to say that he, quote-unquote, runs the Players' Tribune, I don't even know if I'd go that far. His name is slapped on the Players' Tribune. You think he's the one calling everybody saying, I really want you to do a piece for the Players' Tribune, or I really want you. Trust me, he's not doing any of that, especially now with this mess he's in with the Marlins.
Yeah, now that he's running the Marlins, I bet he's got about zero time for that. But I could be wrong.
He never did anything with it to begin with.
You don't think?
No. His name's on it.
That's it.
That's it.
So, do you think he's running the Marlins into the ground already?
He's not off to a good start. I don't like what he did with the guys that were there. I mean, Jeff Conine is a staple down there at the Marlins since they've been, and all those other guys for a couple hundred grand a year, you couldn't keep those guys around? Get out of here.
I'll say this. At the end of the day, I really am not so sure. No offense to Conine and these guys, but at the end of the day, they really don't matter.
It doesn't matter. It just looks bad.
It doesn't matter. It just looks bad. But I think fans are going to – I think people are – and, you know, media, people, fans are going to get over it. They're going to get over it.
Not like a fan isn't going to come to buy a ticket package because Jeff Conine's not going to be hanging around the ballpark. I'm not saying that. It just looks really bad, the optics of it.
Chris –
well, I think what it's about, it's if you're not going to win on the field, you got to at least attempt to build a culture from the bottom up. And he's doing the complete opposite. He's tearing every fabric of that organization down that was represented by love of the fans and love of the people inside the building. He took it all. He burned it to the ground. Terrible job.
Yeah, I don't know, because I was there. I'm not sure there ever was a culture of Marlins culture. What it is... it's like Harper said, it's all these transplanters that are, you know, Cubs and Yankee fans that are down there. Believe it or not, it's true. I mean, have you ever gone to like sporting events down there? When you go, like, let's say, you know, when the Yankees play the Rays, look how many Yankee fans are down in Tampa, whatever. It's the same thing in Miami. If you go to the games, like... I went to the Raider game with the Dolphins. There were more Raider fans there almost than Dolphin fans. It was insane. I was sitting there going, like, is this happening? I've been to a million sporting events down there over the years, and there's as many, like, transplanters wearing the other team's sweater or jersey than you could shake a stick at. I'm not sure they ever had a baseball culture. I really don't think they did. Do you remember when they had, what was the guy's name? Ozzie Guillen. Remember how long that lasted?
He was going to change everything down there.
Wasn't he going to be the one that brought all the Cubans over to the ballpark?
But didn't he come the same time when they signed Reyes and Burley? Then they signed all those guys, the free agents that year?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Nothing.
They were in Toronto about a year later.
I mean, nothing's ever worked out. Nothing's ever worked out in Miami with baseball. I mean, I won't deny Jim Leland brought him one and Jack McCann brought him one. And then that's it. I mean, so at least... at least in their front office, they got two World Series trophies. I got a picture of their 03 one in my house. I'm holding the trophy because I partied with them that entire season. And after they won the World Series, I went to their big bash. So I was a part of all that, believe it or not. And it's the only success they've ever had. Tony in the Bronx.
How's it going tonight?
Hey, Tony.
So... I'm calling because I have to disagree with you. I mean, I listen to you all the time. It's the first time I've called. I think you got a lot of good points that you make, but in the long time that I've been listening to you, but it's the first time calling. So, I mean, what triggered me to call was the whole Jeter thing. I'm a Yankees fan from birth, and I can go a little deeper on that with birth, but the impression that Jeet would be in cahoots with the Yanks is absolutely irresponsible to even think. First of all, he was in debt $400 million. He had to load. His primary reason was to trade him to a good team, and it was the Cardinals and Giants that were ready to go ahead and launch. He said no. he tried the Cardinals and Giants. Now, right there, we could stop for a second and say that he was in cahoots. So, for everyone that knows Pete and who's been a Yankees fan for life knows that it's his parents. It's Dr. Jeter, come on.
Okay, listen, first of all, let's establish, hold on. Jay said, listen, stop. Jay said, Jay was in here, Jay Berman. He's the one that said that they were, that it looks like, that it just smells like there was, you know, some collaboration or he was
irresponsible.
Why is it irresponsible? What's so irresponsible about that'd be like reporting something that's false or that's blatantly untrue or that is with fact that you're just misrepresenting. But to imagine that someone, or to even think that someone, he could cut deals with. I mean, are you kidding me? You know how many people over the years have had side deals with baseball teams between guys that are friends that know each other? It's been going on since the game's been around.
That why it's irresponsible is because you agree with it.
Shut up. Just shut up. Just stop. Go talk to your dog or something with your nonsense. Don't call me with your drivel and start accusing me of all this collaboration or cahoots or whatever the hell else you're saying. I don't even want to listen to you. I don't care if you like me either. Go tell your mother. Go call your mommy and tell her Scott hung up on me because I was accusing him of everything. Like, what are you acting like? I'm some kind of criminal because I said Derek Jeter has screwed up the Marlins? All that matters to you, wise ass, is that they got Stan in the Bronx. What are you worried about Jeter? What are you worried about me for? You should be lucky you got Stanton. Who cares what you, Jay, or me think to begin with?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.